Our guest, the fine beat writer who covers UW for the Seattle Times. You can catch his work online, seattletimes.com. Easy follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Percy Allen. Percy, a most happy 2017 to you, sir. How's it going?
I'm good, guys. Happy New Year's.
Thank you. I want to hit rewind. This was a 19-win team, went in the NIT last year. They lost a lot. Andrew Andrews, the top scorer in conference, a lottery pick in Chris, another first-rounder in DeJounte Murray. And even with the high-level freshman Markel Fultz they brought in with some returning talent, Percy, what were your expectations of how good this team might be this year?
Well, I think that my expectations were a little bit lower than what they were picked in the Pac-12 preseason poll. This team was picked to finish sixth, and I thought that was a little sort of high for them. Personally, I picked them to finish seventh, you know, and that was for all of the reasons that you listed off earlier, was that they just lost so much scoring. You know, they lost their three leading scorers, and not just their three leading scores, but, you know, three guys who were really good. You know, the one guy, Andrew Andrews, is like third all-time at the school in the terms of scoring. And then the other two, you know, even though they were freshmen, they were first-round draft picks. And so anytime you lose that type of talent, you would think that, you know, unless you're Kentucky or Duke, that team is then going to take a couple steps back. And, you know, as you said, that was a team last year that won 19 games. So I just didn't see them coming close to, you know, getting to 19 wins. And so I kind of figured, all right, this looks like a 16-win team, maybe even like a 15-win team. But we fast forward now a bit, and, you know, even those expectations may have been a little bit bold.
You know, getting to this season, Washington's sort of playing kind of the old Phoenix Suns style of hoops this year. Second in the conference in scoring on offense, second to last in scoring defense. Against the Cougars the other night, the defense essentially cost them the game down the stretch. Is it a matter of lack of talent defensively? Has the effort kind of not been there? What do you think is the reason they're giving up 80 points per game?
That's a fantastic question, and it's one that we ask this coaching staff sort of week in and week out, game after game, and they don't have really good answers. And so I don't have a really good answer for you that, so it's a difficult thing in this. One, that they're young, all right? So, but a lot of teams are young. So, but that is part of it, you know? So anytime you bring in three new starters and, you know, basically it's like four new starters, and so they're, you know, they're like trying to, you know, at least early in the season, they were just trying to get to know each other. But these problems have been there from the very get-go. Look, in their exhibition opener against Division II Western Washington, they gave up 103 points. And, you know, and even though they won that game, that was like the first sign that, you know, something may not be right here. And it was an easy 103, you know, to a Division II team, and they were lighting them up. And so from then on, you know, that the defense has been a work in progress. They thought that they turned the corner a couple of weeks ago. They had two really nice games against Cal Poly, against Seattle U, you know, really played some solid defense. And for most of that Washington State game, you know, they really played good defense. But, yeah, as you said there, the last 2.5 minutes, they gave up 12 points. And I think it was something like, I think the Cougars went either 5 or 6 or, yeah, they went 5 of 6. I think they only missed one shot. If they missed that one shot, they were just lights on. So the defense has been very much suspect. This team can score. They've always been able to score, but it's their defense that has been holding them back.
We're talking with Percy Allen of the Seattle Times. Let's get to the blue chipper who started his college career. He scored 30 against Yale, 35 Cal State Fullerton. He almost had a triple-double Sunday. He just was named the National Freshman of the Week. For those who haven't had the pleasure, what kind of treat are we in for watching the McDonald's All-American Markel Fultz?
Well, you know, so I would say first off, that he's good. You know, that, like, he is the real deal. He is not one of those hype machine type of a players. And even though he, you know, came in with great hype preceding him, he has matched it, if not exceeded it. Now, all that being said, you know, there's a lot on his plate. You know, even right now, sort of on the court, obviously he's asked to do so much in, like, terms of scoring, in terms of assists, in terms of playmaking, in terms of rebounds, and then even off of the court here. You know, so, so you know, on a Sunday, he went home back to Maryland to attend the funeral of his great-grandmother. She passed away last week. She's been sick for a while. He was very close to her. He just came back last night. I like heard that he got in at 2 a.m.
Whoa.
I heard that he had a workout this morning, you know, just to sort of get the legs going. But he has not practiced for the past 2 days here. He's dealing with a whole lot sort of off the court. So I don't want to build him up to, like, be the, oh, he's this great thing, and then tonight he comes out and scored 12 points, and then you're like, man, that Percy Allen, he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. You know? So... Yeah, you know, so he is good, but right now, at the moment, he's dealing with a whole lot.
Interesting.
Yeah, so kind of following up on that, I guess Lonzo Ball, UCLA, maybe Malik Monk of Kentucky getting most, if not all, the pub as the nation's best freshman. But, again, we're talking about Fultz as, you know, possibly being a first pick in the draft. A lot of people are saying that. We're talking about a guy who plays for a team that hasn't made the tourney since the 2010-2011 season. How does a guy of his elite level, number one point guard in the country coming out of Maryland of all places, how does he end up in Seattle playing for the Huskies? Have you talked to him about that or the coach?
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's a bit of a weird story when you look at it on the surface. But, you know, but basically, in a nutshell, the Huskies were first. And that's really it. That, like, they were first. That, like,
the whole process.
You know, so, like, you know, like, his story is like, kind of becoming sort of well known, you know, now. But, you know, he was one of those kids, kind of a little bit like Michael Jordan, that, like, as a sophomore, was cut from the varsity team. Was definitely not one of these prospects who was just had, like, a silver spoon in his mouth the whole ride. I mean, it was truly one of those deals that you know, that he had to remake himself as a sophomore. Came back that junior year, and that's really when Washington was on him big time. That they saw him at, you know, at some tournament and said, we kind of like this guy. And sure enough, he just got better and better and better. That junior year, he kind of popped off some, and, you know, bam. And then obviously that senior year, he was just incredible. But with Washington, they were simply there first. And not only were they there first, they just put in some real good work in, like, terms of getting to know him, getting to know his mom, and so then when everybody else came over, you know, came around, like, the, you know, the Arizonas and the Kentuckys and whatnot, Washington had already sort of fortified a really good relationship with him. And he's not the type of kid who is all that concerned about the limelight, ESPN, or like anything like that. That, you know, and he also saw that Washington and Romar does a really good job of nurturing guard talent. You know, so he saw that, and that's kind of what happened there.
Final thought for Percy Allen of the Seattle Times. We kind of touched on it. It's been a little bit of a dry spell. It's 14th season under Lorenzo Romar. I read an article you wrote back in May, you know, year six of a 10-year deal. He got the vote of confidence from the athletic director. So to kind of play devil's advocate, if this season gets away, how would you evaluate Coach Romar's job security if things kind of sour the rest of the way?
It's going to be really interesting, you know. I mean, it truly is, for so many reasons. You know, I know that folks can look in from the outside and say, he hasn't been to the tournament since 2011. You know, that's 6 years. And so that's, I mean, you know, heck, for some places, if you don't make it after 2 or 3 years. I remember, you know, Oregon with Ernie there. He didn't make it for two years, and they said, well, that's kind of it. You know, so, yeah, I get that from the outside. looking in, but there's a whole lot going on here. You know, the one is that he's had some success here. Two is that he's a really good dude. You know, like, unlike the Ernie Sorrell situation where, like, he had some off-court things going on, you know, that's not here with Romar. He is a great dude in the community. People love him, you know. So like, there is that. Number three is that he's got a recruiting class coming in that is fantastic. And by fantastic, I mean number two in the country. And by number two in the country, I mean that they've got this one kid, Michael Porter Jr. And if you haven't seen any of it, just head to YouTube and look him up right now. This kid can go. Last night, I saw him score 52 points.
Wow.
He plays for the number one team in the country. He is, you know, look, I think that Fultz is really good. He's better than Fultz. You know, I mean, wow. He is like 6'9". He plays this Kevin Durant type of a game, which all these kids like to do nowadays. I can't stand it. You know, these big guys going outside shooting threes, but he can do it. You know, and it's not just him. There's like two other kids who are like in ESPN's top 60, and so it's a really good class. So you get rid of Romar, you more than likely lose those kids. And so there is that. And then there's just the very real financial nature of it, if you get rid of them, then you have to pay the buyout. And, you know, like a lot of Pac-12 schools, that they're figuring out that Pac-12 network money wasn't what they thought it would be. Washington, you know, hasn't made a profit in 2 years now. They're going to lose money next year. They have to pay their football coach, because they just went to the college football
right.
Playoffs there. So, you know, look, there's just a whole lot, you know, so it's not as simple as, well, he hasn't been to the tournament and he's got a losing record, so we get rid of him. It's really a complicated issue.
That sounds complicated, but that was a great, well-rounded answer. As always, a terrific insight, great information. Follow this guy on Twitter at Percy Allen, SeattleTimes.com. Percy, always good catching up. Enjoy the game, and catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Percy.
Anytime, really. And, yes, anytime.
All right, take it
Thanks,
easy.
Man.